Greetings and welcome inside hour two of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Hi, buddy.
You know what? We're going to have a pretty interesting guest coming up in a few minutes. I believe we're going to get Mike Woodson.
There you go.
Coming on the show tonight. Indiana pulling the big-time upset over the Buckeyes tonight. Boy, it hasn't gone well for the Buckeyes. 67-51. So Mike Woodson rebuilding Indiana basketball with a big win. They improved now to 11-3. So we're going to get to come and talk about the Knicks. Of course, maybe we'll get one question about Indiana. I mean, hey, listen, Mike, I know Indiana, great. Hey, let's talk about the Knicks.
Coach, big win tonight. Where do you think you fit in the top 25, and how's it feel to be back in Bloomington? Good. All right, no, look, I'd be remiss if I didn't note that tonight, as my daughter calls it, is Bestie Fest 2022, because it is the anniversary of our first show.
It is Bestie Fest. I thought, you know what, and here's the thing, is I thought it was tomorrow.
Yeah,
I thought it was the 7th. I had a whole bunch of stuff. Oh, that's wrong. It's actually on the – boy, a lot of things on the 6th. I thought it was tomorrow for some reason. I thought our anniversary was a day off. Boy, you would divorce me if we were actually married. Oh, you got our anniversary wrong.
There's got to be a lot of other stuff going on, forgetting dates.
Nah. Yeah.
Because you know what you do? You put them all in a calendar.
Then
you never forget. That's how you communicate. There's the key to life, folks. Get that shared family Google Calendar going, and everything will be just right. She did a mock-up, too. Yeah, she did a mock-up of a photo of us that I have to put out. I'm just going to send it to you guys. You can decide whether it gets... No, I'm not saying she did us any favors.
Oh, okay.
No. But, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, hey, you know, here we are for another year. So, at Swollen Dome, at Halavata Fresca, express your hate and consternation.
Now, wait, who did it, Ellie or Maddie?
Maddie.
Oh, yeah. We're not gonna look good. Ellie, we would look good. Maddie, we're not.
Eleanor, we would have gotten a full
not gonna happen.
Full workup on Procreate, and it would have been all artistic with different iterations. What do you think of this color palette? She designed the logo for Glug 2021.
Mm, we'd have scratch and sniff opportunity. Look next to Mr. Jason, it smells like a hamburger. Oh, yeah, it would be.
He smells
be
like
sweet.
Beef and cheese.
You're not Santa Claus. So 8 years. 8 years ago tonight, we hit the air for the
there
first
you go,
time.
Buddy.
I really thought it was tomorrow. I said, "Oh yeah, tomorrow will be fun."
No, that's we'll okay. We can do all the fun stuff tomorrow.
We can do it. Yeah,
I just thought I'd, you know, since it is the actual date, and I didn't want to say you're wrong, you blew it.
Well, I feel bad now. I feel like a bad partner that I had the day wrong.
That's all right.
Although, hey,
we still forget each other's birthdays, for crying out loud.
But here's the thing. You want to go? Okay, I could tell this story real fast. Okay, so when I turned 39, okay, so this is
the Jack Benny year.
Yeah.
There you go. There's an old reference for you.
I gotta say it low because my wife is in the other room. So when I turned 39, we had a party at the house. Right, we just had friends over and everything else. And she comes out with the cake. She always asks me what kind of cake I want, and I always want her to make. Oh, she makes this Kahlua cake that is just to die for. So I said, oh, you know, make the Kahlua cake. She's all right, great. So she comes out. Now we've been together now since 1995. Okay, so we've been together a long time, and she knows me. And she knows how old I am. Obviously, I'm still talking so quiet. She's not going to like the story.
You're great.
So
it's okay.
So she comes out. We're getting ready to sing happy birthday. And she comes out with a cake. And she goes, oh, I made your cake. Here it is. We sing happy birthday. She puts it down and says, happy 38th, Jason. And I look and I go, how old am I? And she goes, what do you mean? What do you mean, how old are you? I go, how old am I? She goes, you're 30. Oh, give me the cake. She took it back in the kitchen and scraped off the 8 and wrote a 9.
Well, you know. Try to keep you younger for another year.
I mean, at least it wasn't like a milestone birthday. We're happy 40th. I'm not 40. I'm 30. Oh, wow. So I guess this 40 card isn't going to work. All right. I guess this 40 ounce of Miller High Life I got you isn't going to work either. All right. That's fine.
Still works.
All right.
Just doesn't have the same meaning as far as the age. But, hey, that'll still get the job done. Come on now.
That's a pretty big thing right there. You know, I'm sorry that I missed that. I should have gotten that right.
You're all good, man.
But I really thought it was tomorrow. Are you positive it's tonight? Are you 100%?
I went back and looked at a calendar of the year 2014 and looked at what Monday was.
Oh, okay. All right. We started on Monday, right? We didn't start on Tuesday?
I'm fairly certain we started on the Monday.
All right. It wasn't like the day off. We got the last day off before you came back. We started on that Monday, huh? All right. All right.
Well, I'm about 98% sure.
Okay. All right. No,
there is. Look, like anything, you got to give it a little bit of an error possibility, okay. Like any test you take.
Well,
any statistical analysis has some degree of error with it. Right?
We get the ish factor where, you know, because the show is we kind of get to the right side of midnight on the East Coast.
It'll be the 7th. Yeah, it'll be the 7th on the East Coast, sure.
Yeah, so tomorrow's right. What are you doing? Tonight's all right. Tomorrow's our anniversary. I knew it all along. Look how I turned the page. I turned the table on you right there.
No, I was good. Nice.
Just turned it right on you. So, we'll continue tonight and tomorrow. We'll celebrate our 8 years. Look, you and I together, 8 years. One thing quick to get into on Antonio Brown. Like we talked to Jay Glazer about a half hour ago, and it was just an incredible interview. You know, Jay's been a mental health warrior for a really long time, and he put out an open call to Antonio Brown on the show saying, look, AB, I can help you. If you're ready, come to me, and I can help you. And a few minutes ago, I talked about how the one thing I know in my life is that when you want help with something, when you need help, whether it's a diet or a lifestyle change, whatever, you have to be ready to do it yourself, because you could have the best people in the world helping you and it's not going to go. It's just not going to happen, right? I could have the best people lined up, but if I'm not mentally ready, I'm not going to do it. And I'll always remember this, because when I was younger, probably until I was about 23, 24 years old, I drank a lot. Right. Like that was my I would go out and I would drink a lot of beer. Right. And that was it. I drank a lot. And it got to the point where I knew, I said, how long? I can't keep going out. You know, I'd go out all the time. And it's not like I was always at the point where I was falling down. It's just I knew I was drinking too much. Right. I would have too much and I needed to cut back. And I remember one day that we had gone out to a bar the night before, and somebody was taking pictures throughout the night and said, oh, here, I got a couple pictures. Take a look. You're in them. And I'm like, oh, and I look at the pictures, and I remember the picture being taken. I mean, it's not like I was blackout, you know, drunk or anything. I remember the picture being taken. And I look at myself, and my eyes are kind of squinty in the light, and my face looks really puffy, and I go, oh, I look terrible. I have to stop drinking. I have to say, and that was the moment. And that was the moment that I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to stop. And it's not that I don't drink anymore, but now if I have 10 beers in a year, that's a lot. I just stopped. I knew I had to stop. And it was that moment where I knew, oh man, that picture, I can still see the picture. I looked absolutely terrible. I'm like, you know what? No, I got to stop. And that was when I kind of stopped. And now I can still go out and have a beer now and again, and all the stuff you and I have done it in Frostburg and everybody. But you know, I used to go out and say, okay, I'm going to have like 6 or 7, you know, and that's what it was. I'm not going to have 1 or 2. I'm going to have 6 or 7 and, you know, do it responsibly, obviously, but I'm going to go out and I'm going to keep doing it. So that is a very, very big thing. And it was, and just want you to know that that's what I mean when I say you need moments like that. And hopefully Antonio Brown gets to a point where he realizes, okay, I need this kind of help. And, you know, people like Jay Glazer are there to give it to you. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. But as promised, we said it a couple of seconds ago. Indiana, the big win over Ohio State tonight. They win it 67-51. Joining us now on the hotline, Indiana head coach Mike Woodson. Coach, congrats on the big win. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Fantastic. Hey,
I was just talking to Mike, and I said, you know, we're going to come on and talk about Indiana, but I'm the biggest Knicks fan in the world. I wanted to talk to you all about the Knicks for the next few minutes, too. So hopefully you have a good half hour or 45 minutes for us.
Well, I had a nice talk with Tibbs tonight. That was a big win for the Knicks. I walked through the door as they were hitting the game winner. So that was kind of nice to see.
Crazy comeback. I mean, they had so many struggles. But for you guys tonight, a big win at home, big 16-point win with a huge second half, Coach. As this team's rounding into shape, your first year at the helm, you know, keeping these guys going with all the start-stop, I mean, how is it getting that continuity rolling?
Well, it's been great. I mean, it's been work in progress. I think when you add new players to a team, new coach, you know, and you're trying to learn your players and they're trying to learn you, it's work in progress. And you know, that's kind of where we are as a ball club. I mean, we've been very, very competitive. From the time we made the trip to the Bahamas where we started to bond as a team, we've been very competitive on the basketball floor and in practice. And it's been a nice carryover in the games. I know we've lost three games, but all three games were winnable and very competitive, man. So I'm pleased with the progress and where we are as a ball club, but we still got a long ways to go.
Coach, you're coming up in another month or two. You're in your one-year anniversary of going to Indiana. What's something now about college basketball that you didn't know then? You're like, boy, I wish I had known that going in.
I don't know if there's been much changes. You know, I mean, for me, coming back to Indiana, you know, I really never left. You know, people thought that when I was interviewing for the job and finally got the job. Hell, I've gone back to Indiana every year from wherever I lived. You know, I mean, I had business ties at Indiana, so I never really left. So it's good to be back, and for me, it's been great because most of the people that were here when I was there 40 years ago are still here. So it's made my sense. No, really.
Wait, no, are you kidding? Is that like the support staff? What do you got there?
No, I'm just talking about friends and business people and bankers and people like that are all still here. And it's really made my transition a lot smoother. It really has.
Like coming home. That's a beautiful thing. And obviously, you mentioned the Bahamas trip and all the way through. Trace Jackson Davis, another big night, averaging 19.3, 8.2 for those, you know, just getting into the college bucket season. You know, how would you describe, you know, his style and what he brings each night?
Well, again, first of all, you know, I'm thrilled to death as his coach because he gave me an opportunity to coach it. You know, he was one of the guys that was thinking about leaving. And the fact that he gave me an opportunity, man, is really put me in a different light as a coach. And I couldn't ask for nothing better. I mean, the young man has given me everything that I've asked him. He's been very coachable. I've been able to challenge him. I mean, I thought – our last game against Penn State, you know, he had 5 rebounds, and that's just unacceptable. And I told him that after that game, and he responded big time tonight, man, with 27-12 and 5 block shots. So he's improving each and every time he goes out on the floor, but a lot of it is the work that he's put in practice, and it's been a nice carryover in the ball game, and we're all benefiting from it.
I like how he said after the game that you know, he said he gets the message from you loud and clear because of your relationship and that you can call him out in front of whoever he wants. You don't usually get a lot of those relationships that are that good because it takes time to build those relationships in college, and it seems like you've done that in a really short amount of time.
Well, I don't have a lot of time. <That's it. Yeah. laughs> Hey, man, I'm 63 years old. I don't have a lot of time, you know. So, I mean.
Oh, you got plenty of time, and they got the Bahamas that are waiting for you on the other side, right?
No, I get that. I'm jokingly saying that, but, no, I think if your best player is willing to be coached, then it's a trickle-down effect in terms of everybody that wears that uniform, man. And, you know, I've always been that way as a coach. I just coach, and if the best player's not doing what he's supposed to do, it's my job to let him know. That's how I was coached, and I can't change from that regard.
Well, Coach, one thing I want to tell you before we let you go is that the last two guests we've had on college basketball were Buddy Boeheim and Matt Painter, and they both lost their next games. So I'm putting that out in the universe to kind of swirl that around for you so you can go beat my broadcast partner, Mike Harmon's Northwestern Wildcats, when you play them this weekend.
Well, we don't play Northwestern. We play Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota. I had the schedule wrong. Well, then Minnesota. Put it out there for Minnesota then.
And you putting all kind of bad vibes in the air, but that's not gonna fly well with me. So I mean, it just went It just went in one ear and out the other.
Good job, Coach. That's kind of how I deal with them every night.
Oh, Indiana head coach Mike Woodson, who you heard it here first. He taught R.J. Barrett that little step back off the glass three.
No, that's not true. That's so not true. That's a hell of a shot, though, boy. I'll take it all day long. Big win for the Knicks. Go Knicks.
Coach, thanks so much for stopping by. Congrats on the win tonight, and good luck this weekend against Minnesota. Thank you very much for stopping by.
Thanks, Coach.
Great stuff there. I thought they played you guys this weekend. Oh, I just had it wrong on the schedule.
He's going to come and kick your ass.
Well, no, he's going to get mad if they lose to Minnesota.
That's just it. He's going to be calling, finding the stringer and then Frostburg, and he's going to go up the chain.
That crazy-ass Knicks fan who was on the air told me we were going to – and we lost, and it's his fault. I can't believe that.
Man, I love that, though. Just the, hey, you got to get your number one guy, and talking about how he stayed, gave him a chance. You could hear the what that meant to him as a coach going back to his alma mater and getting things started on the right foot. And now they're cruising, right? They're just finding themselves and in a good spot after a huge win tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you're 11-3, and you're rolling, and people forget Mike Woodson was a pretty good head coach with the Knicks, man. They won 50. They haven't won 54 games since he was there. Mm-hmm. Oh, good stuff. Congratulations, Indiana, and head coach Mike Woodson on that victory.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Thanks to Mike Woodson, Indiana head coach, and Knicks legend for stopping by a few minutes ago.
He hates you now.
No, he loves me. He even ended the interview saying, go Knicks, right? Indiana wins this big game. We spent just as much time talking about R.J. Barrett and the time with the Knicks. He even ended by saying, go Knicks. How awesome was that? That was fantastic.
Well, I mean, you saved it because you got him back on positivity. But, I mean, you got him to, like, I'm going to put up a poll question. Who hates you more, him or Oral Hershiser?
No. Come on. Mike Woodson likes me. Oral Hershiser does not. Mike Woodson, what makes you think? Why doesn't he like me? Why would he not like me?
Well, Coach, the last two college basketball games.
Well, I had to tell him that. I wanted to you know what he was walking into a little bit.
I guess you were preparing him for potential, so now he's got somebody to blame. You know, pull up a picture of you going, and this guy.
Oh, of course. Dude, listen, when I used to do fantasy with my best friend in Connecticut, right, I would always say, who do you want to play Sunday? And he would say, I don't know. I think we play, I think we play Chris Burkett, you know, whatever. I'm like, okay, great. Well, great. He goes, well, why? Don't you want to play somebody else? I go, no, that's a good choice. And he says to me, why? I go, because if it doesn't work out and we lose, I can blame you. So that's why I'm fine with it, because I'll blame you if we lose. You don't know what you're talking about. So this is good, because now Mike Woodson, if they lose on set, they're probably not going to lose, but if they do lose to Minnesota, then suddenly he can say, oh, now I know what happened. I did that interview with a Knicks fan on the red. Okay, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm not doing that again. No, I'm not going to be the latest one in that realm of getting cursed. So now at least he knows. He won't spend a lot of time going over film. He'll have a whole big weekend. He can hang out and do whatever. Not going to have to worry. Just go, oh, yeah, because I did the interview. If I had not done that interview, maybe we would have won. That's how it goes.
Okay. I kind of heard, don't put that voodoo on me, Bobby Boucher.
He gave the right answer by saying, I don't believe in any of that stuff. I'm like, all right, that's great.
Oh, good. No.
That's great. That's key. And then he said, go Knicks. He said, go Knicks.
He did give you a go Knicks. That will become a staple of the show forever.
Yeah. T-shirt, make that a drop. Make that go Knicks drop for Mike Woodson, please.
I'm sorry. I already got rid of the interview.
Got rid of it. I accidentally deleted it. Listen, I know we delete things really fast here at Fox, but we can hold on to that for a little bit longer.
I just deleted what you were saying right now.
No, okay.
Click.
How many times have I said to something like Ryan Bershinger, hey, Bersh, can we get that Justin Herbert touchdown from 2 weeks ago? Yeah, Jason, that's out of the system. What do you mean it's out of the system? The game happened 2 weeks ago. Yeah, no, that's deleted. It's out of the system. All right, great, thanks.
Well, we have a motto now. It's over a day. It's gone away.
Okay. All right. That's fine. All right. So that's. I guess if something goes bad, really bad, then there's no proof of it. So
that's
I guess
true.
That's all right. It works out.
Works out both ways, I guess, that way. Yeah.
Let's have a little bit of power of positivity here for the next few
minutes. Oh, sure.
Because, you know, look, the last few nights has been about Antonio Brown and Baker Mayfield and Aaron Rodgers and Kyrie Irving, and it's been a lot of the same things for these guys. And we talk about being in fatigue with a lot of these.
Sure.
Are you fatigued about the Antonio Brown storyline? Because it's not a fun storyline. It's him quitting on his team and crazy-ass stuff that there's more things every single day. Baker Mayfield today lashes out at reports that he might want to be traded. Called everybody puppets. Mary Kay Cabot is a puppet. Master of puppets. So it's hard.
Well, I'm
right?
home you in get, time for dinner.
You get fatigue. Have him back by 8. Kyrie Irving, the same thing. Are we going to have another conversation about he's not vaccinated? Here. So how about if we're taking these four people out that we're fatigued on, how about four players that need more attention because of how they're doing on the field? How does that
oh,
sound?
Oh, sure. Let's go.
All right. Yeah. All right. Now, I'll kick it off. The first one, because I mentioned his name a couple of seconds ago, we can replace these four guys. The first guy we can replace them with is Justin Herbert. We should be talking way more about what he's been able to do his first 2 years in the NFL. And I get it. He plays for the Chargers. They're the number two team in Los Angeles. And you know, look, the Chargers are playing the game of the week this week against the Raiders. It's a win-and-in playoff situation. But if you want to go crazy and say, look how good Mac Jones is. No, Mac Jones is absolutely nothing compared to Justin Herbert. What he's done last year and this year, I mean, you want to say that, hey, the next 10 years – the best quarterbacks in the NFL might be Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. What he's doing the first 2 years, we've not seen a guy do. We've not seen a guy do this the first 2 years. Even Mahomes had to sit his first year. Herbert gets thrown right in, and boy, he has maybe the best rookie year that we have ever seen in the NFL, and now he's following it up with a sophomore campaign that's even better. So, I mean, this is just some kind of thing, and we need to talk about him more.
Well, as we go through what he's been able to do between he and the year Austin Eckler had, I mean, you got to point that out, is, you know, thrust in, you know, cold 10 minutes before his first start, right? The unfortunate incident with Tyrod Taylor. Sorry, buddy. And just jumping in and never looking back. And the beauty of it is he's unflappable, right? He's just a guy that understands he's in Los Angeles, but it's not, hey, I'm in Los Angeles, right? There's none of that. In fact, there's video of him when they had him on the Jumbotron the other day trying to get out of frame. Just leave me alone. I just want to play quarterback. And I kind of dig that, because that's a guy that could be on local commercials all over the place. Hell, the local Subway folks could replace Trevor Lawrence and his, well, bad 2021, and I'll leave it at that. Replace some of those national ones and go local if they wanted to. And Herbert could pitch so many products at this point. He's just about trying to find wins, and what they're doing with the Chargers starting to get some push. Right now they're still third, because remember, even though the Raiders are in Nevada, from a fan standpoint, it's a lot of silver and black still roaming these halls. But more and more, more Merriman jerseys, more Tomlinson jerseys, and certainly a lot of Justin Herbert baby blues starting to make their way across Los Angeles.
The next guy I'm going to give you, because he has turned around one of the most moribund franchises overnight, is Joe Burrow.
Oh,
we
sure.
should be talking about Joe Burrow so much more than we do now. I mean, look, we talked about it. We told you how good he was going to be. Look, 2.5 months ago, the era of good feeling for the Cincinnati Bengals is here. They're going to be great for a decade because he is just that good. And now everybody's kind of jumped on that bandwagon, understanding, okay, the Bengals are a good story. No, we should be talking about Joe Burrow way more than we should. Burrow and Herbert at the top of that list. Those are two quarterbacks that should be getting all kinds of ink. I get it. It's Cincinnati, but it's still such a good story that the Bengals have stunk for so long. They've been a laughingstock, and now here they are. They get just as big a chance to get out of the AFC as anybody else does.
Smoking cigars and all of that. You know, he's bringing back the old age of cool. All he needs is a brandy, you know, a little cup on the other hand, and away we go. They've got great talent there. Jamar Chase, remember all the, hey, this guy can't catch, what's going on here? They should have drafted an offensive lineman. Well, maybe not. As he said, just he's out there somewhere. Just throw the blanking ball up. and let him go get it. And that's doing between he and Tyler Boyd and what they've got rolling. T. Higgins has been fantastic. You got three wide receivers, and Joe Mixon going to miss this game because of COVID, but he's a guy that came on in the second half. They upped his touch count, and you're looking at a potent offense. Defense still struggles at times, but they make just enough plays, and now you're looking at a team that should be, right? They're the best position to move forward in the AFC North for a while, right? Pittsburgh needs a new quarterback. Lamar can't stay healthy, and you got a lot of movement going on there trying to rebuild. And then Cleveland is, Cleveland.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. All right, so there's two quarterbacks. I'm going to give you one more quarterback and then an NBA player. The other quarterback we should be talking about a lot more is Jalen Hurts. Okay, the Eagles are 9-7. Who thought the Eagles? I thought the Eagles would win about four games. I thought Jalen Hurts was going to be good. I told you to be a top five fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, he wasn't, though.
But the Eagles were going to stink. Well, I will take the trade that the Eagles are actually way better, and they're 9-7. I mean, are you kidding me? The Eagles have no weapons. They have absolutely no weapons. And Jalen Hurts continues to do enough every single week, and now they're going to the bleeping playoffs. I mean, it is amazing the lack of respect that he gets, that still Philadelphia is kind of embracing him at arm's length. Well, maybe we can get somebody better. Jalen Hurts got you guys to 9-7. You guys are in the playoffs. He does everything. He throws the football well enough. He runs for it well enough. He calls out the Washington football team for needing better security and better stand situations. Yep. We should be talking more about Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, we look at what he's been able to do as a runner. And look, now it's the question of can he improve on the 61% completion rate, right? 16-9, the totals there. But they committed to the ground game, and their defense ranked among the league's best, right? They are, what, sixth, seventh in terms of scoring defense or something thereabouts. So, I mean, you're looking at a team that got it together right behind – well, they're tied with the Packers at 20.9 points allowed per game. So tied for eighth. So, you know, fantastic turnaround there. And then Boston Scott, some Miles Sanders went healthy. Jordan Howard coming in, and then certainly Hurts with his legs. Sirianni, while it's been an uneven and at times kind of hard to watch Philadelphia team, yeah, Hurts is a guy I'd push forward saying, all right, go get him someone alongside Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert and see what we can build in that division. Certainly you've got all the other ingredients, just improve his efficiency a little bit and get him another playmaker.
Twitter
and
how
finished
about a
top 10, buddy, by the way.
Hey, that's okay, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with, because I don't really take the L. I said top five all year, but now look, I mean, he won nine games. The Eagles are going to the playoffs. I got nothing.
Yeah, they
and
are.
They're going there. The last guy, I'm going to leave the NFL, and this is more of a player and team that needs to be talked about way more, and we need to talk more about DeMar DeRozan. I mean, I understand that what happened over the holiday, but he has jumped into the front of MVP discussion. He's 32 years old. We've seen the best of DeMar DeRozan, and he starts hitting game-winning shot after shot, and suddenly the Bulls are the best team in the Eastern Conference. It's not just, well, Zach LaVine's really good. Yeah, but oh my God, dude. I mean, we need to be talking way more about them. It's the return of the Bulls, and it's let's see all the old video of Pippen and Jordan. This means, I guess, DeRozan and LaVine are going to start fighting the entire time. Especially DeRozan and the Bulls, we need to have more discussions about them. Less about Kyrie and the Nets and how many more we have. Hey, the Bulls are back, man. The Bulls are really good. They're the best team in the East.
Good depth, and you got a guy as a leader, and he's a guy that is with his team, right? Leader and part of the locker room. You had Josemu Gwenton had his jersey retired at Illinois, and you had DeRozan went with him for the ceremony and was hanging out. Who does that? Go down to Champaign-Urbana? I mean, that's kind of a big deal. Want to make sure we do, and I could talk about the Bulls for a long time because, I mean, you got a bunch of guys that are on their second, third, seventh NBA life, and maybe that – you know, post-hype sleeper thing we talk about when we do fantasy analysis. Same thing here. Guys that were expected to be stars elsewhere and have really built careers. I'm talking, you know, most extensively about Lonzo Ball when he's available and the player he became in New Orleans before coming to Chicago. And now with Billy Donovan, they've got something cooking. But also Ja Morant in Memphis. Now, we'll see what happens the second half of the season, but you know, he missed some time due to an injury, and they won some games and put together a pretty good streak. But if we're going to have an MVP conversation, there's a guy that needs right smack dab in the middle of it.
So there you go. There's players on Mayfield, Rodgers, AB, and Kyrie fatigue. The stories are tough. It's every day. It's drama. Blah. Four players who should get more attention. There you go. Burrow, Hurts, Herbert, DeRozan, and Mike Harmon, Chicago Bulls. Now he's going to now Mike Harmon's going to go back and pull out an old Bill Weddington jersey and wear it to the show tomorrow night.
Well, I just might. You never know what's around the next corner, buddy.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon, live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. That's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations, they do apply. Well, something that would have been better had they headed this off at the pass, but the biggest play in the NFL from Sunday now has someone saying, oh, it's my fault. With the Jets facing a 4th-and-2 from inside the 10-yard line of the Bucks on Sunday after Antonio Brown had run off the field, they had a chance to win the game. Except instead of a play they ran that could actually work, the Jets ran this.
Tom Moore than at Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah.
Busted play here. And then Sanchez gets hit. The ball is loose and it's alive.
Right now somebody's going, Sanchez playing quarterback for the Jets on Sunday still? No. It was this play.
Zach Wilson keeps it. I don't think he got it. There wasn't much room there. And it wasn't a short yard either. There was a lot there. The Buccaneer defense with the game on the line.
What have we talked about all afternoon, though, in the run game? Where's the one place you don't want to go? And where they have to have the most success? They've run really well off the edges. You know, attacking the edges.
Okay, I've heard enough.
Zones.
I don't need this anymore. I've heard enough.
Where
the play
you don't want to go.
Sorry, 10 more
these
seconds.
Three really
stop
big
it.
Guys
Just
are.
Stop it. Stop it. I've heard
I
enough.
Wanted to hear how dumb a call it was again.
Jets offensive coordinator Mike LaFleur tonight said this was his fault. Quote, it's 100% on me. I'm disappointed with myself for two reasons. I pride myself on communication and on execution. I failed at both of those. Now,
well, he didn't have to execute it. He called it.
I mean, you got to execute it.
And look, he could have called it.
Tell you.
Right. He could have called a crappy play and they still could have figured out a way to roll off for 2 yards.
You know,
so the execution's a separate effect here.
Here's the thing is that everybody wanted to blame Zach Wilson beginning of the week because he had the option. It was supposed to be a pitch to Braxton Berrios, who would have probably gotten a touchdown. All right, at least a first down because the Bucs weren't ready for it. But there was an option for him to keep the ball if there was nobody in the A-gap. Now, I get it, and that was the play, and that was what was called. So Zach Wilson didn't see anybody in the A-gap. I mean, I don't know how you decide, oh, with Vita Vea and Dominican Sue, I'm going to make it. But anyway, he tries it for 2 yards, not a half yard, for 2 yards. He tries it. Stupid. And he doesn't make it. I want to go back to this. Forget about whose fault it was. Oh, we did that. Why was a sneak on 4th-and-2 even an option? A quarterback is not going to make 2 yards on a sneak on fourth down. I don't. This is when I think the Jets didn't know how much they needed to get for the first down, which means Jets going to jet. Because Robert Saleh said after the game, oh, it was a yard, you needed to get there. No, you needed 2 yards. Nobody runs a quarterback sneak on fourth and two. All the big patented Tom Brady quick snaps are all fourth and one, half a yard. You don't run a sneak on fourth and two. Look at how the Bucs were lined up. Everybody's within eight inches of the line of scrimmage. You're not getting 2 yards. How was that even on the table? That's what I don't know. Forget about whose fault it was. How was that even on the table as a thing? That's when I look and go, I could be an offense coordinator because I'd throw that right out of the book. You can sneak it on fourth and two. And two, not a yard. So this makes me think the Jets didn't know how much they needed, and this is what they're covering up. Remember, Jets are always going to jet. No matter what happens, who they have, who the coach is, quarterback, the Jets are always going to jet.
Down distance, right? Game situations, final 2 minutes, all of those things that you're supposed to, you know, you got to spend more time on it, right? The devil is in the details. The other, working between the 20s with 14 minutes left in the first, you got the whole world is your oyster. Here, it's about finding execution, especially with a rookie quarterback and giving him something. Look, because this would have been a big win for your squad, right? Because he's played well down the stretch, cut down his turnovers, all of those things, and you've seen a couple of young players emerge, and then you have this call. So you got your coordinators taking one for the proverbial team here in terms of the call. Look, you could have done the quarterback draw, little jump pass situation. I mean, there's a lot that you could have done. Sprint out and throw back. I mean, but, trying to do the sneak for 2 yards, not so much.
Twitter, how about a Fresca, Mike? It's Swollen Dome. Blech.
Sorry, buddy.
Coming up next, we celebrate the game of the night and something else that might be great for everybody. Well, almost everybody. That's next, Bob.
Zach Wilson keeps it. I don't think he got it. There wasn't much room there.